We will call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order. My apologies for being a couple of minutes late. We will start. Representative Kreisha, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and they look fantastic.
That's always nice to hear. Our staff does a great job. Any questions about the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Thank you. With that, we will jump right into it, and we will start with Representative Knobloch's bill, House File 296. I will move that bill so it's in front of us. And with that, Representative Knobloch, Chair Knobloch, tell us what you want us to know.
Well, sure, Mr. Chairman, members, and if I could, maybe the best way to start this would be there is a amendment, the 0005 amendment. Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if you could move that amendment and have it added onto the bill so we can get the bill in shape. What the amendment does is right now, what this bill basically does is, as it was introduced, it eliminates the tax on pull tabs for bingo halls. That's the way I got it from the Senate. And what I want to have happen is that the tax be restored to the way it was before we raised the tax to pay for the Viking Stadium a few years ago. And I'll so what the amendment does is basically restore the tax on pull tabs at bingo halls to what they were before the Viking Stadium bill passed a few years ago. So I'd appreciate your support on that so I can get the bill in the order I'd like it.
Okay. We have a question from the tax chair about this tax issue.
Well, Representative Davids. Mr. Chairman, I ran on this issue, so I'd like to move House File number 296.
Thank you. Then I would like to withdraw my motion to move House File 296
and let. Oh, I didn't hear you do that. I'm sorry.
No. We'd rather
Mr.
have.
Mr. Chairman, I repeal or reduce or bring back my motion. But I did run on this.
Yeah. In one way, shape, or form, this bill is properly before us.
We really want it here.
And I thought you had a question about this. We are voting on the adoption of the 0005 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like it to be in. Members, any questions on this? Seeing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The bill is now in the shape the author wants it to be. Chair Knobloch.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, House File 296, as amended, as I mentioned, deals with bingo halls. There are actually only 7 bingo halls left in the state of Minnesota. One happens to be in my district, the Bingo Emporium, and I have the manager of the Bingo Emporium here with me, Bonnie Merkling, and she'll talk more in detail in a moment. But basically, with the increase in taxes that bingo halls have seen, with the passage of the Viking Stadium legislation a few years ago. All of them in the state, it's my understanding, have found it really difficult to give much money to charity, the purpose that they are in business for, and are having difficulty, in fact, staying in business. And bingo halls are a unique animal. They're very different from, of course, the bars where most pull tabs are. The Bingo Emporium in St. Cloud is about 10,000 square feet. It's a large building. It's got all the expenses of a large building, parking lot, a number of employees, doesn't serve alcohol. And so because of the expense structure of bingo halls, I think that they're deserving of being treated differently than a pull tab booth in a bar where you've got only a very small amount of square feet dedicated to gambling in a business that also has other sources of revenue. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll ask Ms. Merkling to talk a little bit more about the need for this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Merkling, if you could identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
Bonnie Merkling from St. Cloud, Minnesota. I am the hall manager at the Bingo Emporium in St. Cloud. I've been with them for about 28 years, so I've seen lots of change over the years. I think the biggest thing that affected us was the smoking ban, which I think everybody can identify with. Our revenue was cut way back. We had 4 organizations at the time, and 3 in this last year actually terminated their licenses, I guess now they are all 3 terminated. Once the tax reached, we went from 9% to 18%, and at 18%, one of the charities said, we can't do this anymore, it's too risky for us. And then by the end of May, the other 2 that left, they were paying 27%, United Arts was paying 36% in June. It is a fiscal year tax. So now it is just United Arts as the only operating charity at the Bingo Emporium. July and August were the first 2 months of the fiscal year, so the tax was 9% until we reached 87.5. So in the month of September, somewhere in the middle or so, we went to 18% tax. In October, the first week of October, we paid 18% tax. We paid 27% tax for about 3 weeks, and at the end of October, we were paying 36% tax. Right now, between our bingo and pull tab taxes, we are looking at about $20,000 a month, which is huge for us. Under the old combined receipts tax that was prior to the stadium deal, we would have paid, and I just took the same numbers that we had before, putting it all in one organization, our taxes will be about $45,000 more. And, I mean, you can ask, why is that? Because the combined receipts stadium tax went to instead of a gross, ideal gross tax, it went to the tax on the amount that you deposit, with the assumption that you're at the average, which is 82.5% payout for pull tabs. And bingo halls typically aren't paying out. They can't. There's no money left on the bottom line if we're paying out 82.5. So at one point somebody said, well, just pay out more and your taxes will go down. And it's like, but it's still gone. And that's the problem. We just can't make, you know, ends meet. Looks like a profit to pay the taxes. And then we don't get to deduct, by the way, I don't know if you realize that. No, and this is not just bingo halls. All organizations, all charities cannot deduct any expenses. So it is a gross minus prizes, and you're taxed on that number.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess I should mention, too, I know this isn't the tax committee, but just in terms of giving people a sense of the amount of money involved, I was given a revenue estimate on the bill as introduced, with the tax being eliminated entirely, and the cost of the state with the tax being eliminated entirely was $310,000 a year. Now, of course, we actually have the tax being restored to its old level, so I don't have a revenue estimate yet, but it's going to be significantly less than $310,000 a year. And so I bring that up, that this is not going to put any kind of a big hole in the Viking Stadium funding if we do this. It's a fairly modest amount of money in the whole scheme of things as the state goes. There are, again, only 7 bingo halls in the state, down from 18 not that many years ago. This is not a industry where there is huge demand for new people getting into the business, and I wouldn't expect that there are going to be lots of new bingo halls opening if we do this, which I would guess is a question that's within the purview of the Commerce Committee.
Well, thank you, Representative Knobloch. And one of the things that I talked to you briefly about, and I spoke to Representative Atkins about this, and this is not the tax committee, but I think I have a way to help this bill and to get the state more money. And what I would like to do is propose an oral amendment to your bill, to the amendment, or to the 005 amendment. Or was it on the actual bill? I don't remember now. It's on the amendment, and it's line 1.5. It starts with number 3. What I'd like to do is strike the words electronic linked bingo. And I believe, and Mr. Kleeman, you can straighten me out if I'm incorrect, but my intent is to make electronic link bingo the same tax rate as regular bingo, with the idea being that that would help our charities, not just the bingo halls, but the Legions, the Lions, the youth hockey, people like that. And if we can do the electronic link bingo, if the tax rate is lower, we think more people would play it. That would result in happier charities and more money coming into the revenue, pay off the stadium sooner, and we win the Super Bowl.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I other than playing bingo in church as a kid, I'm not a complete expert on bingo, but it sounds like a good idea to me.
Representative Atkins.
And Mr. Chairman and Representative Knobloch, it sounds like a good idea to me, too. I anticipate supporting the oral amendment. My question is, and you could literally, and I appreciate the testifiers' comments, because as much as our bingo entities are struggling, so many others are hanging on by their fingernails as well. And my question is, you know, for the first time in an awfully long time, we're sitting $1.02 billion surplus, projected surplus. Perhaps it's time, and I look actually to the chair of the tax committee, we've been talking about reducing tax rates. One of the most onerous tax rates in Minnesota, Mr. Chairman, Chairman of the Tax Committee, is on our charities and these charitable gambling organizations. Is this the year, perhaps, when we could take Chairman Hoppe's idea and Chairman Knobloch's idea and pass it along to those other charities as well? And I don't know, Chairman of the Tax Committee, are there any proposals at this stage, Chair Davids, for rolling back some of those taxes to something more modest, something more reasonable?
Representative Davids.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Atkins, I haven't seen anything yet. That doesn't mean it's not out there. But this may be the year.
So if I might,
Representative Atkins.
Let's just say that a humble member of the minority were to introduce such a bill. Could I perhaps get a hearing on that, Mr. Chairman? And it just seems, or better yet, Chair Knobloch, I think, is already onto it. If we were to have that, and I don't have the amendment in front of me today, that I think Chairman Hoppe had a terrific idea and with respect to this amendment, but now is the time. If we were going to change these tax rates, this is the time to talk about doing that. I don't know. I don't want to hold the bill up and say, "Come back, and we'll offer a further amendment to it." But perhaps we could chat as this comes before the tax. I assume was the motion to send it to the tax committee.
Representative Davids.
I think the Hoppe motion was to send it to taxes.
Okay. And I thought it was my motion. This is what I ran on. But perhaps we could visit a little bit about an additional amendment before it comes to, or when it comes to the tax committee, to bring these tax rates to something that is not so so unbelievably onerous. I mean, this I think is the highest, and I look to perhaps Mr. Lund or somebody, I think it's the highest tax rate that we charge any operating organization in the state of Minnesota. Is there anybody that pays a higher tax rate than our charities? And we're putting Mr. Clement on, I know this isn't necessarily your issue, but is there anybody that pays a higher tax rate?
Mr. Clement, you want to shed some light on this for us?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I don't have that information in front of me right now, but I could certainly research that and get back to you with that information.
Thank you.
Well, let's go with it. Representative Atkins, I think that's a good idea. For our purposes right now, I think, Mr. Kleeman, are we okay with doing that? Do you have this oral amendment, and does this pass muster for members? Any questions on what we're trying to do with the oral amendment? Essentially, we're making electronic link bingo just the tax rate as regular bingo. The idea being, if the tax rate is lower, more of the charities would use it. The charities are happy. We make more money as a state. To the money from that would go to pay off the stadium. Questions from members? And because we're doing this and this wasn't noticed, is there anybody in the audience that wants to say anything briefly about this being a good, great, or bad idea? Seeing nobody rushing down, Representative Anderson.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I was pulled out for a second. What was the amendment? Could you review that again?
Yes. Good idea. I was going to do that before we voted on it. On line 1.5 of the 0005 amendment that we already adopted to get the shape of the bill in the shape the author wanted to be in, line 1.5, what I'm doing essentially is striking number 3, the words electronic link bingo, and I don't know if we need to get rid of the word and there or not, and then renumbering 4 as number 3. So essentially what I'm trying to do, what I'm hoping that we do is lower the tax rate on electronic link bingo, and hopefully that would give the charities the impetus to be doing more of that, and more people would want to play electronic link bingo.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Representative Atkins.
I'm going to make a motion. I will tell you in advance that I plan to withdraw it, but I think just for the sake of putting a marker in the sand here and putting it in the record, my motion would be that we amend the motion that's been made to reduce the tax rates on Minnesota's charitable gambling organizations by half. I throw that out there because it seems to me that they're roughly twice, by my recollection, and Mr. Clemon, we're not putting you on the spot. This isn't necessarily your, but maybe you can follow up with that data. My recollection is that the tax rates on these organizations is literally twice as high as it is on any other corporate entity or any other sorts of sort of taxable entity here in Minnesota. So by cutting those tax rates in half, and if there was ever a time to do it, I think it's right now. I'll make that motion. I hereby withdraw the motion, but that's what the sort of number that I'm thinking along the lines of. And I hope and look forward to working with Chair Knobloch and Chair Davids, and Chair Hoppe, of course, in terms of talking about that moving forward as it goes to the Tax Committee.
Representative Atkins, I think that's a good thing to have further discussions about. And Chair Knobloch and members, I think what we should do, just to make sure that we do this right, if there are no more questions on the oral amendment, is I will withdraw, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but I think what I should do is withdraw my, to move to reconsider the adoption of your, the 0005 amendment, put the oral amendment on it, and then reconsider that amendment, and then vote that on, just to make sure it's, Mr. Kleeman, does that get us in better standing here? We're getting a sign from those above that it works out well. So what I will do is move to reconsider the adoption of the 0005 amendment. Any questions? Okay, we will have that back in front of us.
Aye.
Thank you. So what we will do is we now have the 0005 amendment in front of us. I will move an oral amendment, the same the one that we have discussed, line 1.5, striking number 3 in the words electronic link bingo, and move to incorporate that oral amendment into the 0005 amendment. Mr. Kleeman, are we good with that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just a technical point that in subdivision 1, after number 2, we'll want to replace an and.
Okay.
That we took out on after number 3.
Thank you. Members, everybody got that? Just cleaning it up a little bit. I think this is a better way to do it than my original idea. Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Any questions on that? Representative Knobloch, you're okay with that?
I'm okay with that, sir.
Tim, you have a... Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only thing that I would like to just make sure, and it's clerical in nature, to provide Mr. Kleeman the latitude. I'm not sure where it says subdivisions 8, clauses 4 and 5, if those somehow refer back to 1, 2, 3, and 4 as printed on here. I'd hate to see us have a technical issue on that, because we don't have that language in front of us. It may be a moot point, but I don't want it to leave the committee in a form that was not the intent of the committee.
Mr. Kleeman.
Mr. Chairman, members, I believe the in the old line 4, are you referring to the clauses where it states clauses 4 and 5?
Subdivision.
In subdivision 8, correct. Yeah, that refers, I don't believe there'll be an internal cross-reference problem there, because that refers to 297E.01.
Does, Mr. Kleeman, would it cover us if I amended this to say get rid of the words electronic link bingo and make any appropriate technical corrections necessary to make everything flow? Mr. Kleeman.
Mr. Chairman, that and members of the committee, that would be fine.
Thank you. With that, I think we are ready to vote on the, as amended, the 0005 amendment. Okay. Representative Knobloch, are you okay just incorporating the oral amendment into this?
Yes.
Mr. Kleeman, do we want to vote on that just to make things legal, or are we okay with it just being incorporated?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it should be okay.
Okay. So everybody on the committee okay with what we're doing here? Okay. We've incorporated the oral amendment with the author of the amendment's permission. We're now voting on the 0005 amendment to get the shape finally in the bill that the author would like it to be in. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The bill is now in the shape that the author would like it to be in. Representative Knobloch and members, thank you for your patience with that. Any questions to the bill as amended? Not seeing anybody. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill as amended? Not seeing anyone there either. With that, Representative Knobloch, do you want a final word?
Well, just would appreciate your support. Thank you for hearing the bill, and ask that you vote for it.
With that, either I or Representative Davids will renew our motion that House File 296, as amended, be passed and moved on to the Tax Committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
I don't think under rules right now we can pass anything around here anymore. I think it has to be referred to. I got sued over that.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping you'd get sued
again. About that.
And I was the one who sued him.
All right. Then we're not passing this. We are re-referring this to the Tax Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Thank you, ma'am. Your bill is moving on to the Tax Committee.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and committee.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Mr. Chair, do you want to go ahead and we'll talk about your bill? Representative Sanders was going to be next, but he's presenting another bill somewhere else, and I don't see him yet. So that means we are on to House File 51. Representative Davids, would you like to go ahead and move your bill and tell us why you're here and what it's about and what we're doing?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I would move House File 51 be referred to State Government Finance, I believe.
That's correct.
Okay. That'd be my motion. What House File 51 does is very simple. It just says that it suspends the sale of lottery tickets from self-service devices, and if those devices are part of, share display with, or are adjacent to retail petroleum dispensers or electronic financial terminals. It suspends the sales of instant win lottery tickets through a website. members, this is similar to a bill we had passed last year on a very bipartisan basis with some very big numbers. Now, Representative Sanders will have a bill similar to this, but it also has the charities legislation included in there. As I said, this was passed last year overwhelmingly. It was late in session, this specific bill like this wasn't passed, but this was in a bill that was passed. 120 something to whatever. And we adjourned sine die, and the governor decided to veto it. And so we're back again this year. Members, I think we have the lottery gone wild here, and I think we need to be very clear that the legislature will decide what can happen in the lottery here. And so what we're doing is we're simply saying that you can't be playing the games at the pump or at the ATM machine, then also again it suspends the sales of instant win lottery tickets. Now, I gave the example last year of, imagine if you will, you've worked hard all day, it's 5 o'clock, you have to get filled up with gas, and you go to the holiday station, you're eighth in line, and the people ahead of you are buying lottery tickets. Now, you have to drive 45 minutes to your Amway meeting, and that starts at 6 o'clock. You are not well pleased. Now, I know what my reaction is when I'm in a hurry and I get behind somebody in the store that's buying lottery tickets and scratching them right there. It makes my brain melt into my shoes, Mr. Chairman.
We hate that.
That's not much to melt, but that's the way it goes. So with that being said, that's simply what we're doing here. We're saying we are not going to have play at the pump, and I think last year they had started out with either 8 or 11 machines. They're up to 70, soon going to 84. We need to stop this now. You do not need to be playing lottery games at the pump or at the ATM machine. I cannot see anywhere in the constitutional amendment that was passed in the 1980s where it allows this. Now, the most frightening thing to me is the lottery's justification for doing this is that it doesn't say they can't. What if your school boards or your school districts took that attitude on the Constitution? We're just going to go build a school. We're just going to do an excess levy override. We're just going to do it because it doesn't say we can't. That's not the way things work around this place. They need to have authorization, and if you think, just think about it for a second here. We're talking about online purchases, the internet. The constitutional amendment was in the 1980s. Al Gore had not yet invented the internet. And so how in the world can the lottery feel that they have any jurisdiction or justification on online gaming when it's not allowed by the constitutional amendment? So members, that's my bill, and I would appreciate re-referring it over to state government finance. And as I said, it's similar to Chair Sanders' bill, except his includes all of the charitable legislation that we've supported in this committee in the past. And so we've got a kind of a two-pronged approach here, hopefully to go over to Chair Anderson's committee, and I'd stand for questions. I think I had somebody that liked this bill. I think there's a few that don't, too, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Representative Cresha had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Davids, just quickly, when you buy at the pump, can you only buy the lotto with the numbers on it? Can you get the scratch? My question is, if you win at the pump, do you have to go inside to redeem it, or are those tickets not able to be purchased at the
pump? Well, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Cresha, I might need somebody to come down, or maybe the researcher could help with that, because I was upset that I'd never won the lottery, and then I found out you had to actually buy a ticket. And so I've never bought a ticket. I never will buy a ticket. And so maybe council could help out here.
Mr. Kleeman?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, could you just clarify the question for me?
Representative,
so I can give you the proper answer.
Thank you. I'm just wondering exactly what kind of lottery tickets you can buy there at the pump. Is it just like if you punch your numbers in to win one of the drawings, or you can't buy scratch-offs at the pump, can you?
Mr. Kleeman, we don't necessarily want to put you on the spot. I'm guessing we might have somebody in the audience that can tell us exactly what you can do. So why don't we wait on that one, and we'll see. Members, what we're going to do, we have Representative Sanders' bill is going to be up next. He's presenting another bill in another committee. So we're going to start with some of the testifiers that we're going to testify on either or both of these. And we'll save the people that are going to testify specifically on the charities part of it for Sanders' bill when he gets here. So we'll start with Mr. Grassel. He's coming down. So we'll get Representative Cresha. We'll get the answer to what works at the pump question. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as this gentleman's coming forward, I was wondering if Representative Davids would like to address the other concern of why they said they could not stop doing it was this contract that they entered into. And I thought that was really particularly kind of a weak spot in their argument. Maybe you could expound on that. So why would we stand to lose millions, apparently, if we stopped doing something that they didn't ask permission for?
Representative Lilly, good question. Representative Davids?
Well, it reminds me, Mr. Chairman, sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, and I'm a big believer in forgiveness, but not in this case. So with that being said, I'm getting conflicting reports, and we may need some legal counsel here to explain this a little bit better, but some are saying they're locked into contracts, and Western civilization will change, as we know it, if we do this. On the other hand, apparently there's some provisions in there that said that if there's legislation to the contrary, that they'd both be able to waive any penalties or anything like that. So I think we should have that clarified. I don't know I'm getting both answers. I'm getting the answer that, you know, we stand to lose bazillions of dollars. I'm also getting answers saying, no, there's a clause in there that says you don't lose anything. So we should get that clarified, though. I think that's a very good question.
Yeah, Representative Lilly, good question, and we will get clarification on that. And Mr. Grassel, thank you for coming, and we're going to try to ask you to be to about 3 minutes because we got a finite amount of time and an almost infinite number of people that want to talk.
I sure hope I can stick to that.
We do too. Please identify yourself for the record and start when you're ready.
I represent Citizens Against Gambling Expansion. Many of you are familiar with our organization. It's made up of Minnesotans from all across the state, from all socioeconomic, political backgrounds, religious backgrounds, that unite for one thing, and that's to say that we already have enough gambling in Minnesota. Our coalition has asked us to come forward and support this bill, support both Representative Davids and Representative Sanders' bills for a variety of reasons. First, we already have enough gambling in Minnesota. Secondly, the cost of gambling for every dollar we're going to take in, we're going to pay out $2 to $3 of socioeconomic or social costs. And generally that is, with gambling, It is primarily targeted at a 25-mile radius. Right now, we have a few casinos around the state. We have pull tabs in bars and stuff. But now what we're going to do is we're going to put a gambling device in the hands of every 18 to 25-year-old in every home, every Starbucks, every library across the state. I don't think that's good policy. I don't think that's good for the state of Minnesota. And quite frankly, I don't think it's good for the next generation that is being targeted by this lottery expansion. It is specifically targeting 18 to 25-year-olds and asking them, rather than coming out of college, paying off your student loans, saving what little is left after, I know my generation's paychecks come through, what's little left. We're now creating a generation that could be small savers, leading into retirement, small earners, into a generation that is counting on a lottery ticket to be there when we retire, to be our backstop, and I don't think that is good policy. And therefore, our organization asks this body and the rest of your members to support a ban on online lottery gambling, as it's not authorized, and it is just plain wrong for Minnesota. So that answer any questions you may have, or I'll turn over the microphone.
Mr. Gressel, nice job. I didn't keep exact track, but I'm going to go under 2 minutes. Good work. Questions, members? Thank you, Mr. Gressel. Mr. Straczynski? Thank you, sir. Whenever you're ready, please identify yourself for the record and tell us why you're here.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bill Straczynski, and I represent the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association, and we are here to support Representative David's bill. I represent about 800 members in the Petroleum Marketers Association with over 2,000 convenience stores throughout the state of Minnesota. We are the second largest vendor of lottery tickets in the state of Minnesota. And we support this bill primarily for a number of reasons, but I think I want to say that play at the pump has been very confusing to customers. It started out as a test pilot project with 6 sites, and now it's up to quite a few more. I know we met with the lottery back in November or December, and there were 30, I think, or 60 locations, but now it's continuing to expand. We are opposed to this legislation because the current vendor has been providing these systems for free to a few select stations. That the systems typically would cost, if you're going to put a chip and pin system in your store, about $20,000 to $30,000, or $5,000 per pump. If they're offered to free for somebody, and they're only offered to a few select stores because they only work, that vendor's play at the pump machine only works with of 3 or 4 operating systems. There are over 100 operating systems in the store gasoline station business throughout the state of Minnesota. The bottom line is it only works with a few, not everybody. If everybody got it at the same time and was made available to everybody at the same time, it may not be an issue, and if it was offered for free. When you start introducing something that costs a lot of money and give it to one person and not the other, that becomes a competitive issue for all of us. And we're trying to avoid, ultimately, with the larger retail chains and the small retail individuals, conflicts where the larger ones get to squeeze the mom-and-pop operations or what have you. We've had technological problems with these machines. Thousands of dollars have been lost. Now, the vendor did reimburse people for those losses, but when people leave your station and drive away in frustration because the system crashed, they don't come back again. It's really problematic. So what sounds pretty good, sounds pretty logical, is really problematic. So we are opposed to this play at the pump. We are supporting this legislation, and would appreciate your support of this legislation as well. By the way, the National Convenience Store Association, which represents all of the convenience stores in the United States, is also opposed to play at the pump at the national level. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Straczynski. Members, any questions? Representative Atkins.
And Mr. Straczynski, I've heard that as well, that it only works, this technology only works with certain operating systems. Do you have a sense of how many of your members or how many of the service stations have that operating system versus how many do not? I mean, is it 80%? Is it 20%?
Mr. Straczynski.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Atkins, Representative Atkins, I don't have that particular answer. I do know that they targeted I think the stations that had the oldest systems where there had been the most problems with their operating systems or their systems in the past, that's where they focused their attention to go and approach those individual stations with this newer technology the vendor has. But I don't know what the ratio is. My guess is that ratio is, my conversations with Mr. Tolman and others within the industry, is that those works with very few stations operating systems. And it certainly doesn't work with the larger chains.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Straczynski. Next up, we'll have Mr. Lilly from the excuse me, the Taxpayers League. Welcome to the committee. Please start whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chairman, esteemed members of the committee, and brother.
Whoa.
It's quite an honor to be here talking today in support of a bill that my brother is a co-author on. That's rather unique. I'm Ted Lilly. I'm the president of the Taxpayers League of Minnesota. We advocate for the taxpayers, champion for the taxpayers, looking for limited government, limited control of government. And today we are here talking in support of Representative David's bill. This is important to the taxpayers of Minnesota because when the lottery constitutional amendment was passed, it was put forward to pay for the parks and recreation and different types of things, and these are funded through a number of different opportunities, different places, and what happens in government is when we have multiple streams of revenues coming in and they're not dedicated and not direct, that is a problem because it's not transparent to the taxpayers of Minnesota. And we believe that taxes should be transparent, should be direct, and should have that opportunity to go forward, and taxpayers should understand it. The Taxpayers League has been opposed for its almost 20-year history to the expansion of lottery and gambling because of that impact on the taxpayers of Minnesota, and we continue to be in this case with online gambling. The online gambling is a situation where the taxpayers are not directly aware of what is happening. And one of the things that also is important about this is that this is really a regressive tax, and it's also one that could prey on vulnerable people. There are youth that have access to gambling potentially. There are people who have problems or addictions potentially with gambling, and this is that opportunity for them to have access to gambling in a way that they might not otherwise have that access. So again, it is important to the taxpayers of Minnesota that we limit this going forward. And that is basically it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Members, any questions? None from you. Anybody else have any questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Lilly. Next, Mr. Brian Rushy. Welcome to the committee, sir. Start whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Brian Rushy with the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition, and we're a coalition made up of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, the Minnesota Council of Churches, the Jewish Community Relations Council, and the Islamic Center of Minnesota. We have a long-standing interest in the gambling issue in Minnesota. In fact, we opposed the constitutional amendment that passed in 1988 to create the Minnesota Lottery. One of the things I want to point out is that that constitutional provision started out with a general ban on lotteries, and the voters approved an exception to that. And I think that calls our attention to the fact that anytime you have an exception to a broad ban and then you want to grow that exception, we ought to be pretty cautious, and we ought to give that a lot of scrutiny about what we're doing. Our deepest concern is that the Minnesota Lottery moving online will create more problem gamblers. It's well known that 80% of state lottery revenues come from about 10 to 15% of the players. So the volume is generated by a relatively few number of people. And what's behind this are a couple of elements that I want you to know about in any sort of gambling activity. First of all, the rapidity of play. How frequently can you play the game has a lot to do with how addictive, how seductive it is. Buying a ticket at a convenience store compared with pressing buttons on here is a whole quantum leap of increased rapidity of play. It gets more dangerous. the buzz or the high that accompanies gambling is associated with the rapidity of play. So online internet gambling is going to have a much more serious effect on people. The amount of time that they spend playing the game, as Representative David said, you know, you feel the pressure of being in line at a convenience store or at the gas pump. You're not going to stand, hopefully, a flight person isn't going to spend a lot of time doing it, whereas on the internet, you're home, it's solitary. You could while away hours doing this activity. And the amount of money lost becomes a more serious issue when the rapidity and the frequency and the length of time expands. As soon as you start losing significant amounts of money, then you've got this issue of addiction, where people believe that if they just would play more, they could get out of the hole. I don't think the state of Minnesota should be the proponent and the operator of an expansion of this type. I have a letter that gives the full breadth of our thinking and some little kernels of wisdom that have filtered on through the years through our religious traditions, but I will skip that for now. I think I've made my basic points, and I'll be happy to stand for questions. Can I have a letter distributed?
Sure, we can do that. And I think you're, Mr. Rushy, I would agree. I think you did a nice job of stating your point. I think members get the gist of it. Members, any questions for Mr. Rushy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And members, with your permission, I think what we're going to do now is temporarily lay over Representative David's bill, and since Sanders is here, we'll let him testify before we have Mr. Van Petten and the lottery come up, give them a chance to hear from both authors before they come up and testify. So we will temporarily lay over House File 51, and we will call up Representative Sanders in here, House File 374. And then after we hear from Representative Sanders and answer members' questions, then we'll get Mr. Van Petten and Mr. Kwapik up here from the lottery. Representative Sanders, would you like to go ahead and move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will. I would move that House File 374 be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on State Government Finance.
You missed the earlier chastisement of the chair. We don't pass anything here anymore in the legislature. We re-refer things. So
I'd like to pass this bill.
Mr. Chair,
we'll re-refer it. I move that we re-refer this bill.
Yeah, Representative Sanders moves to re-refer House File 374 to the State Government Finance Committee. And with that, Representative Sanders, tell us why you're here and introduce your guest, and let's go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here today with Mr. Al Lund with the Allied Charities, and this is the charitable gaming bill. Very familiar to everyone in the legislature that was here last biennium. This bill, in identical form, which was authored by Chair Atkins at the time, worked its way through the conference committee, was passed by the House 126-2. So we had very broad bipartisan support on this bill. Again, this bill is in identical form. This bill does a couple things, largely. But again, major portion updates, makes a lot of tweaks and modifications for the charities. And I can tell you it's sorely needed. I actually had to sell calendars this year to help supplement my son's youth hockey team. So I want to make sure we get this corrected as quick as possible for that as well. But this entire bill greatly affects the charities. But the big first couple of provisions really walk through, again, with tweaks, modifications, and as the charities coming to the legislature asking for, you know, additional opportunities such as the hotball bingo and those sorts of things. The second and probably controversial part of the bill, at least in discussion standpoints, but again, met with very broad bipartisan support from the legislature, reins in and provides some restrictions on the lottery for not doing what the charities are doing in this bill, which is coming to the legislature and working through the legislature to proceed in the games that they would like to play. So specifically online. So with that, I would like to introduce Mr. Lund and let him speak for a few minutes, and then happy to answer any questions or proceed how you desire, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. Mr. Lund, welcome back to the committee. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, Al Lund, Executive Director of Allied Charities of Minnesota.
And I guess the points that I would like to make are that this is the exact bill that the vast majority of you voted for last year and passed with a huge majority. And 25 of the 27 sections of this bill deal with help for charities. And it's basically simplifications, clarifications, removing of items that no longer pertain to charitable gambling, helping charities stay in business, helping us recruit volunteers, all good things. Nothing in our sections have anything to do, no fiscal implications at all. There are the two lottery provisions that have garnered a lot of interest in this bill. While they were not initially on our bill, we are in total support of those two provisions. We believe that those are key to our long-term survival. The Minnesota Lottery is a competitor of ours. They will tell you that their customer is not our customer. In my tenure as the executive director of Allied Charities, I've gotten to know a lot of people that like to take a chance to wager. And they like to play pull tabs, they like to play bingo, they like to go to the casinos, but they also like to buy their lottery tickets. We believe that the expansion to the internet from the Minnesota Lottery is in violation of federal statute. We believe that really what this bill, those two provisions are doing is halting them where they're at now. A week ago when the Racing Commission did their overview in front of this committee, they told you that they will be coming back with a bill this session that will be asking for permission for them to go and have internet gaming. We believe that if we don't stop the lottery, if you don't stop the lottery at this point, that will become more difficult to deny the Racing Commission. We then believe if the Racing Commission is doing internet gambling, that tribal gaming will not say, well, it was a nice run. They will, in very short order, have very attractive games on the internet. That will leave us then with two choices, neither of which we like. One will be to follow it, where we believe it should be a destination event, or the other is to very quickly cease to exist. For what we do in our communities, that would be a very bad thing. The two lottery provisions, we believe, do this. It says, here is now your arena. Inside your arena, you do whatever you would like. If you decide to grow your arena, step outside your arena, or go into someone else's arena, you have to start here. And we believe that's a good thing. I ask for your support of House File 374.
Thank you, Mr. Lund. Members, any questions?
Just one quick one, Mr.
Representative Ack.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lund, I talked earlier about tax rates. I know you said there's no fiscal implications with this bill. Frankly, I think there should be, because if there was ever a year to cut tax rates, I think it's this year. Can you comment briefly, and I know we're in kind of a hurry, but about what the tax rates are? I gave folks my sense of what they are. I think they're terribly high. But do you have some specifics you could share?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Lund. Thank you, Representative Atkins. And I sincerely appreciate that. We have a tax bill that we're going to be working to get authors with next week. This has kind of occupied my time so far in session. But we also think that this is a very good time to talk about relief. Charities are, again, the highest tax that we're aware of any entity in the state. We do not get to deduct any of our expenses. When my charity, my Legion, is paying 36% on every dollar that we take to the bank without being able to deduct any expenses, for every $1,000 in sales, I get $20 for missions. It is really hard. So we will be bringing a case that says this would be a really good time to help us stay in business and do more for our missions. So thank you for that opportunity.
That, by definition, was a softball, right?
That was what we like to call a softball.
Thank you, Mr. Lund.
Thank you, Mr. Lund. Thank you, Representative Atkins. Members, any other questions? Representative Sanders, anything else? Otherwise, we're going to bring up Mr. Van Petten and Mr. Kwapik from the lottery. Thank you, Mr. Lund. Mr. Van Petten and Mr. Kwapik, if you guys, gentlemen, want to come up. And I know I said earlier that there was a three-minute limit. Mr. Van Petten, take as much time as you need and as much as Mr. Kwapik would like. And Mr. Quampick or Mr. Van Petten, if I don't want to interrupt the flow of your presentation, but if one of you could answer Representative Kreisha's question from earlier about what's available at the pump right now, we would appreciate it.
Short answer is, Mr. Chairman and
Mr. Van Petten,
Mr. and committee, the short answer is it is just draw games, no scratch games. We address that further in our testimony. Due to the fact that we had not done an overview yet, I do have a little bit of background information, but it will not go to great depth as we normally would.
No, Mr. Van Petten, I think that's would be appreciated. I think the members of the committee would benefit from that, and I think it's only fair to give you more time to talk about your position as far as Representative Sanders and David's bills go. So if you could identify yourself for the record, please sure. Start whenever you're ready.
Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here. My name is Ed Van Petten. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota State Lottery. Consider it a great honor to be here and to serve as the head of a very great state agency, in my opinion. Now I have to get my cheaters out. I'm getting older. I want to be very clear, and we will explain more in detail, that it was never my intention, never the intention of the agency, either in perception or action, to usurp the authority of this legislature. For any confusion in the past 2 years, I sincerely apologize on behalf of myself and my staff. I regret the breakdown in the relationship with the legislature. However, you can be assured that when I came into this position, I was simply carrying out what we believed then and still do today was a direction and a plan that would improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the state lottery's delivery and operations that had been ongoing for years before I arrived. Yes, we should have made sure the legislature was better informed and understood exactly what we were doing. While I can't undo the past, including some decisions that were made before my time, I pledge to you on the record today that the lottery will be forthcoming with any and all future plans. I must come before you today to oppose House File 51 and the sections of House Bill 374. I have 25 and 26, but after hearing Mr. Lund, he referred to it as 26, 27, but this is correct. Okay. Both of these bills, as you've been told, restrict the lottery's ability to offer electronic instant tickets on the Internet, quick pick draw games at gas pumps and ATMs, also known as play at the pump and play at the ATM. We are also very aware that this past spring the legislature overwhelmingly passed legislation to restrict the lotteries providing these online delivery systems for the sale of our products, and had it not been for the governor's veto, we would not be having this conversation. The message and intent of the various legislative proposals is not lost on me, and at the lottery we now fully understand that in the order to move forward we have to be more upfront, transparent, and communicate better with the committee and the entire legislature. Let me also be clear that as the executive director of the lottery, I, along with my team, take our constitutional mandate to run a successful lottery very seriously. To that end, last year the lottery awarded $328 million in prizes to individuals and $127 million to public programs. Lottery proceeds have supported organizations like Friends of the Mississippi River, the St. Croix River Association, the National Legal Center, the Visitor Center at Fort Snelling, the International Wolf Center, the Will Steger Foundation, Ducks and Trouts Unlimited, Minnesota Zoo, Red Lake Watershed District, the Trust for Public Land, countless research projects at the University of Minnesota, including the Aquatic Invasive Species Research Center and the State Departments of Agriculture, Education, and Natural Resources. Lottery-funded projects have directly benefited every county in this state. Minnesotans are proud their lottery has so strongly supported the environment, education, healthcare, and many other critical efforts over the past 25 years. In total, since the lottery was created by a vote of Minnesotans 25 years ago, it has contributed over $1.3 billion to the state's general fund, more than $660 million to the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, excuse me, and more than $159 million each to the Game and Fish Fund and the Natural Resources Fund. And we know we have provided a great amount of entertainment value to our players. The lottery has done this while navigating an ever-changing marketplace, hence the aforementioned initiatives,
that were initially shared with legislative leaders and the governor in correspondence dated April 27, 2010, from Executive Director Clint Harris. Because we have been able to continue offering these service options over the past 7 months, we have new data that I would like to share with you with the Chair's indulgence.
Go ahead, Mr. Van Pen.
Let me draw your attention to the packet provided. First of all, there's a slide indicating the timeline on these projects. Development of these projects began in 2009. I would reiterate, my first day on the job was March 1 of 2012. In November of 2010, subscription sales launched with full knowledge of the legislative body and the governor. In October of 2012, we launched a pilot program with play at the ATM machines. In November 2012, a pilot program with play at the pump. Development continued, and I think this committee will remember, we discussed those projects in committee hearings with our annual legislative updates. On February 6th of 2014, electronic instant tickets were launched, so approximately 1 year ago now, next week. Next slide regards internet subscription sales. As I said, planning began in 2009, went live in November of 2010. The intent was to allow players to purchase draw-style games, and that's, for instance, Powerball Mega Millions, also the other draw games, the smaller state games, with a subscription over the internet. And those subscriptions at that time were anywhere from 6 weeks to a year. Subscription system has strong age and location verification. So age verification and geolocation, the person has to be present in the state of Minnesota and be of proper age. And $50 per week limit per player. With regard to our electronic instant ticket program, development began in 2010 and went live in February of 2014. The intent of that product is to increase product awareness and allow easier access to players who do not frequent traditional retail outlets. System, again, has strong age and location verification checks. The $50 per week limit was left in place for a total, and that total includes both the draw games and electronic instant tickets. So, for instance, if you buy $10 worth of draw games, you're limited to only $40 in electronic instant tickets per week. We have found that less than 1% of 32,000 players that are signed up for the system actually max out the $50. I pulled the exact figures the last 2 weeks, and both weeks have been under 0.5% of players. The median age of our EIT player, based on the research we gather off of the internet, is 45 years of age. Automatic teller machines, the development began in 2011, and we began the pilot program, as I stated, in October 2012. Currently, play at the ATM is offered in 135 non-bank locations around the state. System offers Powerball and Mega Millions only. Credit card purchases are not allowed, and strong age verification program is in place. In fact, with the ATM machines, due to their software configuration, a driver's license must be introduced to the machine with the magstripe for every purchase. With regard to the play at the pump, I'll digress just a little. That has to be done on the first purchase. Once a driver's license is tied to that same person's debit card, the driver's license is not necessary in future transactions. The identification is through the debit card. Again, with play at the pump, development began in 2011. Pilot program beginning in November 2012. Currently, play at the pump is offered in 58 stations, and that's as of yesterday. I think your deck will show 54, and we have 500 individual screens. Now, I would point out that there is not 1 cent of charge to any individual who wants to add lottery to their pay at the pump system. It has to be upgraded to the current system to have a chip card reader. The lottery has no fee whatsoever, never has had, never will have, to add the lottery itself. The intent is to offer Powerball Mega Millions to the 70% of gas customers who do not go into the stores and to remind gas customers of the availability of lottery products. Participating stores have seen an increase in in-store sales compared to non-participating stores. Our statewide research with participating play at the pump stations and other retailers with gas pumps who did not participate show 8% higher sales of Mega Millions, 4% higher in sales of Powerball, and 3% higher sales of total lottery products. Purchasers must use debit cards. Credit cards are not permitted. And again, strong age verification through driver's license. I would point out the very first pilot program was done with a system called the Verifone system. There were problems with the Verifone software. There were no problems with the lottery portion of that software. Verifone company itself chose the initial 9 retailers that participated in their pilot. We piggybacked on their pilot because that was the new technology in the chip reader with the chip readers. No other software had that capability at that time. Since then, we have partnered with, or Link 3 has partnered with a company called Gilbarco Vitaroot. That pilot began in October of 2013. We have not had one complaint since October of 2013 regarding any of that software or any of that play at the pump technology. Next deck or slide shows you locations of lottery retailers statewide, and an amazingly very similar slide, the next, which shows over 10,000 winners of $10,000 or more. You can see that our winners are in fact all over the state. We will cover the next one when we get to that information in the presentation. Our goal: create brand awareness, stay relevant in an ever-changing marketplace. Over the course of the past year, we have seen an uptick in sales that have had positive effect on small businesses in every district around the state. We are also very careful to never cannibalize sales from our traditional retail partners. We recognize that without them, the lottery would not be as successful as we have been over these past 25 years. They are our bread and butter and the most trusted way our players purchase lottery tickets. Our research shows over 85% of people prefer to buy their tickets from a store clerk. The added visibility created by these important ticket purchase options has driven additional in-store sales that support our 3,111 retail partners who employ people in all 87 Minnesota counties. Our retail partners collectively earned $32 million in 2014, meaning our average retail partner earned $10,000 last year for supporting their state lottery. Also, during the time that our EIT system has been online, we have seen a significant jump in traditional scratch sales in the retail level, up nearly $15 million this fiscal year. And that amounts to about $1 million in commissions to your retailer constituents. We have offered no new forms of gaming. As you know, we are prevented from doing so by state law. However, the new ways for players to purchase tickets have us back before you today. Like every entity offering internet options, we have a simple goal: ensure we remain relevant and continue to provide critical funds to support the environment, land conservation, public parks, and other necessary services provided by state government. While we don't get to determine how the legislature, LCCMR, or the DNR spend the funds raised by the lottery, as a state agency, we do take our mandate to return as much as possible to the Minnesota taxpayers very seriously. We are also proud the lottery is not a form of gaming that attracts individuals who act irresponsible, as gaming can indeed be dangerous. However, these legislative proposals to restrict our online lottery programs would not stop such gambling. The restrictions would instead encourage those who play our games online to spend their dollars with readily available illegal overseas sites that do not support the common good in Minnesota, are not regulated, do nothing to discourage and in fact encourage irresponsible play, and pay no state taxes. As you may know, the lottery is the largest contributor in Minnesota to programs that help treat and prevent problem gambling of all kinds. Further, academic research on online gaming has shown gambling on the internet does not increase chances of developing a gambling addiction. However, to ensure responsible play, we limit an individual's online purchases to $50 a week or less. In the packet is a summary of last year's calls to the state gambling hotline. As you can see, online accounts for 3% of total calls, and it is highly unlikely that these calls naming internet gaming are related to lottery ticket sales. And the way we know that is that the North Star Alliance Board meets in our offices every month and we ask them. To the bill at hand, we are concerned that not only would the lottery lose the ability to focus on new and emerging markets, but that it would also have an impact to the proceeds that the lottery returns to the state, environmental, and general funds. The unintended consequences of the bills would cause an impact on the amount that the lottery is able to contribute back to the state. This decrease would come not only from a loss of sales, but due to possible litigation brought by our vendors for breach of contract. This impact could be as much as $7 million or more in this biennium. We want to avoid this situation. To that end, everyone at the lottery has been working hard since last year to make sure we are being both responsive to the legislature and our mission of returning as much to Minnesota as possible. Last fall, we added former House Commerce Committee Administrator Chris Klopik to our team with the sole purpose of working with the legislature. Chris is reachable at any time to answer your questions and address concerns, as am I. In addition, we have drafted compromise legislative language that we hope will address your concerns of further expanded gambling and would give the legislature a much stronger role in the future of lottery activities. Chris and representatives from our vendors have already met with many of you and remain focused on working with Chairs Davids, Sanders, and Hoppe, and anyone else that would have a voice heard on how we conduct our business. Therefore, I respectfully ask that you lay over these bills so that our team can continue to a solution with you that will allow the lottery to continue to be a benefit of the state of Minnesota. Minnesotans support their lotteries, and surveys continue to show Minnesotans appreciate knowing the proceeds benefit them. You can be assured we will continue to work with you as our partners. We want to make program improvements necessary to ensure continued to fund the important initiatives, reach players, and support our retail partners, all while remaining relevant in the ever-changing marketplace. We are also committed to making sure you are aware of all of our activities in advance. We learned our lesson, and we need to be more accountable and accessible. It has been our hope that no legislation would be moving forward until after our update hearings and we had a chance to fully discuss legislative alternatives with you. We believe our draft alternative is fair to our players, best for our retail partners, including the 195-plus mostly Minnesota businesses that will be harmed if these bills before you today advance, and continue to allow us to support the general fund and many other important programs and initiatives across the state. Additionally, our draft language would increase your authority over our programs. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I strongly encourage you to table these proposals for at least a week so we can work with you on legislation that is fair to all lottery stakeholders, including the 195-plus businesses that will be harmed if you move these proposals forward. I look forward to working with you and to your questions, and it is important to remember, a better Minnesota is the lottery's biggest prize. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would stand for questions. I would like to make the chair and committee aware we do have a Minnesota retailer present who is a member of the Play at the Pump program and has requested an opportunity to address this committee at your pleasure.
And thank you for the comments, Mr. Van Petten.
I think what we'll do is we'll hold off on questions for 1 second. Mr. Kwapik, welcome to the committee. Did you have a couple comments you'd like to make first?
Yeah.
And please state your name for the record.
Sure. Chris Kwapik with the Minnesota State Lottery. I don't have any general comments to make other than just to help answer any questions that may come from the committee. With your indulgence, we'd like to have a retailer come up and give his testimony before we answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Dean, you have a question. Do you want to wait until after the retailer comes up? Okay. I do. Oh, and Representative Scott, do you have a question for either Mr. Van Penten or Mr. Kwapik, or do you want to wait for after the retailer?
To introduce Roger Green from South St. Paul.
And welcome to the committee, Mr. Green. If you could state your name for the record.
Okay.
And
that's fine. We'll just stay here.
We are on a timeline, so please keep your comments at least to 3 minutes, and then we'll take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Roger Green. I operate a convenience store in South St. Paul. And I've been in the business since 1972. With multiple locations through the years, and the only location I have now is in the South St. Paul. Last 13 years I've been there. I put new dispensers in when I heard about the play at the pump, and we did that in November of last year. Actually, they were finished in the end of October, and in November we were online with pay at the pump or play at the pump. My sales increased. November of 2013, my sales were 52,500 in lottery, and in November of 2014, they were 65,000. In December, I went from 65,000 to $83,000 increased sales in lottery. I really believe our customers enjoy the opportunity and the availability to be able to play at the pump if they want to. It's a very, it takes less time to do that than it does to buy a car wash while you're standing there. I believe that with the cold weather and so on, it will increase once we get into spring and summer. But that's phenomenal sales numbers for our store. We're just a small little store right in the middle of South St. Paul, if anybody has ever been to South St. Paul. Representative Atkins, of course. We feel it's really important to our business, the lottery. It brings in customers. The best part about the online playing is that we don't have any people melting down at our cash register. Representative Davids. It eliminates a line for the lottery. Actually, it cuts it down and has increased our sales. Is there any other questions you guys would be interested in? Or?
And thank you, Mr. Green. And we'll start with questions, so if you could just stay up there in case there's one directed to you. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question is for Mr. Van Patten. So, I understand your desire for us to table this, but there's nothing like moving a bill forward to get people to have conversations that sometimes are often really, really important to happen. And my question that I have, that was more of a statement, is right now you have $50 per week as a limit per player total. And what is in place? Is there any law? Is there anything out there that says that, you know, next week you can't raise that to 100, or the week after that you can't raise it to 150? Or, I mean, is there any provisions in either rules that you've possibly set up or in law that allows you just to change that dollar amount whenever you see?
Our assurances to you, our assurances we will come before this committee before we modify our procedures in any way. And I think the fact that it has remained at that level since November of 2010 with no intention, actually when 0.4% of your customers are actually hitting the $50 limit, it doesn't make a lot of sense to change it. But I assure you, before any change would be made, we would come before this committee and, if necessary, the legislature to discuss that point.
Representative Dean, follow
up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Scott, did you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm new to this committee, so this is my first time hearing your testimony, Mr. Van Patten. I'm just wondering a couple things. First
Representative Scott, I'm sorry. Is this your first question in Commerce? Did you bring treats? That's traditional, but you can bring them next time. That's
so
fine.
So sorry, I'll try to cover that next Scott. Time for my scratch up. Mr. Van Patten, I'm just wondering, curious, you came here with the lottery in 2012. What did you do prior to that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I apologize for the breach protocol. Prior to that, immediately prior, I was in a financial institution for a brief period of time. Prior to that, I spent 11 years as the executive director of Kansas Lottery. Prior to that, I was a prosecutor with the Office of the Attorney General in the state of Kansas and for the Supreme Court of the state of Kansas.
Thank you. And my next question, if I might, Mr. Chair. Thank you. When you came into this position, how many of these play at the pump stores were up and running?
None.
Mr. Pitt.
It was in the planning stage. The contract was signed by Executive Director Harrison, I believe, in 2011. The development of the program was begun. He took early retirement, I believe, in July of 2011. I was appointed by the governor. I took office March 1 of 2012. The pilot programs began that fall in October and November of 2012.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so at that time, did you know that, were you familiar with the laws that surrounded the, I mean, you're an attorney, obviously. Did you read through the statutes that said, you know, that, you know, you had to get legislative approval to make these sort of changes?
Mr. Van Patten.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, there is nothing in the statutes that says we need legislative approval. I did read the statutes involved. I consulted with then-general counsel, who had given an opinion to the effect that we had the authority to do this. In fact, they had been progressing along these lines for 3 years at that time. Based on advice of my general counsel and in visiting with the governor's office, we proceeded as planned, as the plans were in place at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rappett. Representative Swidzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is actually to the testifier. I forget your name, sir, but...
Roger Green.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Just a Chairman, Mr. Green, kind of along the lines of just the process. You talked about kind of just a general increase in sales that it's brought you. Just from a marketing standpoint, you know, just in general, do you think that's a spectrum-wide increase in sales through the lotto just because of fuel prices? Or do you believe a lot of it is to do with the just the general, some of the marketing and stuff around pay at the pump, or and then maybe go into that a little bit, kind of what's been going on and that sort of thing. Thank you.
Mr. Green.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the fuel prices weren't dropping in November. They just barely started to, so it doesn't have anything to do with our fuel prices, but we added E85 and E15 at the time we did the pumps in October when we put them in. I do believe that the fact that we're able to advertise on our pumps now with our screens and so on, and it also allows you to play lottery and tells you. The customers come in and ask us, how does it work? We explain it to them. And some obviously buy outside, some buy inside. But I think that's just the prompting of it also that has increased our sales. Our inside source sales are also up, though.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think Representative Swidzinski is quite...
Oh, I thought he was done.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to... I did want to thank the Mr. Green for adding E85, so thank you.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. committee, I would like to also add that the state of Minnesota Agriculture assisted us in grant money for those pumps. So that's deeply appreciated, and it's really helped our business. And our E85 and our ethanol sales are going off the charts.
We've got to be careful, or this will get re-referred to the Ag Committee. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Green, for joining us here today. Fellow South St. Paul business person, there's actually folks that will drive by other gas stations in order to get to Mr. Green's place because they treat people so well. This question is actually for Mr. Van Patten. And Chair Anderson, I don't want to get into the purview of your committee, but we do it all the time. I was already in Chairman David's purview earlier, but the question I get over and over is there's a lot of folks concerned about the potential legal liability, whether it was, and we had at the end of last session, whether it was $2 million, $4 million, $7 million, $9 million, but all of the potential damages were in the millions of dollars. And I know that this is Chair Anderson's budget potentially that we're, and others obviously that we're chatting about here. What I picked up in the interim between when we passed the bill and it was vetoed up until now is kind of a concern about, and some of it's on us quite frankly, about the mixed message. I think you'd come, or your predecessor would come before this committee, and we would say more power to you, you're very entrepreneurial, we applaud the fact that you continue to make more money, we want you to go out and try new areas and so forth. And then you did, and I'm not necessarily you in particular, but the lottery in general. And now we're a little concerned about, you know, how far you're going. And we're hearing from others, you know, folks that have come up and testified about where is this going to end. So my question for you is, if we draw some boundaries around, and the sentiment that I picked up from most legislators, I'll just say it, was that we're not so concerned about where you're at today, but where you're going to be at next week and next year. And we're hearing that not just from legislators and folks outside, but from lots of folks. If the boundaries were drawn where you're at today, and then there was a law that was passed that said you can't go any further without coming back before this committee, before this legislature, for express approval, is that something you can live with? That's a sea change from what the lottery has lived under and lived with since its inception. It would be a dramatic change. But is that something that if that were the end result that you could, maybe you wouldn't like it, but could you live with it and could you make things work?
Mr. Van Patten.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, absolutely. In fact, we have drafted, as I said, alternative language or compromise language that my belief is it says exactly that. It has been made abundantly clear to me that perhaps the progress over the few years before I got here was a little faster than people realized. I made the assumption, and wrongfully so, that it was sanctioned because it was being done without anybody saying don't do it. And the governor, as I said, you know, we've tried to make my boss aware of what we do, but I want to work with this legislature. I quite honestly had an excellent relationship with the legislature in my years previous to this, and I would love to do that here. We have no intention of circumventing the authority of this body, and feel quite comfortable with our language that requires any future delivery methods be approved by the legislature. And that's paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what it says.
So here's, and oh, I'm sorry.
You know, the one thing you said concerns, and you know, Mr. Lund and I have debated it over lunch. If we are competitors, they're really kicking our butts because you know, $1.2 billion to $540 million in sales. We will never compete with the charities. I don't want to compete with the charities. I try to benefit the charities in every way I can. And probably spending a little more than I should. I don't spend over $50 a week, I will say that. But that's where we're at with this thing. I don't see us as competing. Yes, we have some of the same players. I can't deny that, but it's not a competition.
Thank you, Mr. Van Patten. Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Van Patten, and here's the part where I sort of wander into Chair Anderson's territory is, if that were the outcome, if the line were drawn, you know, and Mr. Green could continue to do what he's spent some time working on at his pumps, and, but that was it, and we drew the line with what's happening today, you'd need express authority for anything new. Does that cause damages in the world of your contracts with some of the vendors if that were the outcome? Would there still be costs?
Mr. Kwapik?
Mr. Chair, Representative, well, first of all, when you say stopping right here, I assume we could offer Play at the Pump to other retailers who had the appropriate software and to other ATM manufacturers who want that particular software identical to what we have going now. But with that being said, I could accept that easily, and I see no way it in any way damages any of the contracts we presently have in place.
Thank you, Mr. Van Patten.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Van Patten, you mentioned the threat of litigation and the costs incurred thereof. I'm just wondering, the contracts that you've entered, that we've entered into with the vendors, I'm just wondering, are there expiration dates, termination dates, or those open-ended contracts, or how long are we obligated to honor those contracts?
Representative Sundin, good question. Mr. Van Patten.
Good question. Mr. Chair, Representative, the dates vary on the various contracts. I'll be honest with you, I do not know the expiration date on the Link 3 contract, which is our contract with the Play at the Pump and Play at the ATM. The Internet services contract with Scientific Games International expires in, I believe, April of 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Van Patten. Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that we could let this issue die a quiet death over a few years, or we could terminate it at any point and suffer losses due to litigation. Is that a fair assessment?
Mr. Van Patten.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure I quite understand what you're saying, Representative.
Representative Sundin, you
Mr.
want
Mr. Chairman, just very quickly, if we were to terminate any contracts now or any obligations there, we'd suffer some litigation costs. But if we were just let to not renew any contracts with the present vendors, we could just let this issue die a quiet death with the existing vendors.
Mr. Van Patten.
Mr. Chair, Representative, if I understand your question, if we were prohibited from entering into additional contracts,
look at that.
I would assume you are correct. I am a lawyer, but not licensed in Minnesota right now, so I'd hate to interpret Minnesota law, but it sounds like what you said is logically correct, yes.
And Representative Sanders, you had a comment on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Atkins' questions, and you know, I can kind of see where the conversation's going. I do think, at least to this bill author, and I think to a broad bipartisan group of legislators last session, we kind of do have a problem with where the lottery is right now today. We have some serious questions and some serious concerns about whether they can be in online lottery games, whether they can do e-scratch-offs, whether or not they can be operating as an online retailer on their website selling online lottery tickets. Those are legitimate questions that I think we all dealt with over the last couple of years and said, we're not comfortable as the legislature where you have gone. And that is why the coalition behind this bill, the charities behind this bill, and I believe near unanimous House of Representatives in the last term said we do have concerns about where the lottery is today. We do want to work well with Mr. Van Patten and with the lottery. We want to have a lottery that works, one that respects the authority, and I believe that he is extremely sincere in wanting to do that. But as the lottery and as the state legislature, we can't rest on assurances. We have to have things put in place and in statute because Mr. Van Patten won't always be in his current role. We will not always be in our current role, and that's why we have statute. And we need to, I think, kind of put some reasonable restrictions back on the lottery to begin having those conversations. And I think when you read statute in 349A, it's very interesting. And there are a lot of prohibitions on what the lottery can and can't do, some of which I believe and others believe and other members believe they're in current violation of right now. So that is the reason and the genesis behind including these provisions, and I know that we always want to have peace in the valley, and especially in this committee, and it's something that we all strive for. But at times, we also have to stand up for the sanctity of this institution and make sure that separation of powers is respected, and that we as the legislature stand up for this institution. And at times, we have to rein in state agencies and put the conversation back where it needs to be. And sometimes, in this case, where you have good friends and folks on both sides of an issue, you have to have the tough conversation to get things back to where they need to be before you can move forward again, and that's what this bill does.
Mr. Kwapik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment on something that Representative Dean had mentioned before. You know, my executive director mentioned about possibly laying over the bill. We do appreciate the fact that this will be moving forward to Chair Anderson's committee, because that does indeed give us time to continue to work with the chairs. I know Chair Davids, Chair Sanders, yourself have all been had a very good open door policy with myself so far, and we do feel that there is language that will address those concerns that Representative Sanders just raised, and it is our hope to work with you so that. In future sessions, not only now, but in future sessions, that the legislature will have that authority and that input into what the lottery does. The way that things have gone on the past few years is just not something that will be sustainable for the near future. Us butting heads all the time, I think we can all agree on that. And so it is our commitment to make sure that we try to get a piece of legislation forward that will be a benefit to the legislature and recognize that authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. So, members, I apologize. We've gone a little bit over our time, and we're going to go ahead and take a vote on this and then get Representative Davids back up there quickly. We all know he never says much, so that should go fast. And we did go a little long, but, clearly this is an important issue to a lot of people at this table, a lot of people in the audience. And I know we're already a little over time. I'll just beg a little bit more indulgence of your time. Is there anyone in the audience that didn't speak that wants to speak for or against this bill or on the issue? I'm not seeing anyone come down, but I wanted to ask, so thank you. With that, members, we will go ahead and vote on House File 374. Representative Sanders' motion is to re-refer this bill to the State Government Finance Committee. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The bill is on its way to State Gov Finance. Representative Davids, please come back up, and we'll get back to House File 51. Representative Davids will renew his motion that House File 51, as amended, be re-referred to the State Government Finance Committee. And members, I know we just went through an hour and a half here of this issue, but any other questions on this bill in particular? Not seeing any. Representative Davids, would you like to re-renew your motion?
I'd renew my motion.
Thank you. The Chair Davids re-renews his motion that House File 51 be re-referred to, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on State Government Finance.
Not amended.
Just House File 51 be re-referred to the State Gov Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Davids. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And members, we are adjourned.